Welcome everyone, this is Derek Bros with the Conscious Resistance Network. And today I'm presenting to you a brand new presentation that I've been working on titled Exit and Build, Creating the 2030 of Your Dreams. And we're going to get into some deep solutions, some ideas that you can incorporate in your life today while you're listening to this, you know, in the ongoing moment, not in some distant future, not ideas that are going to be too abstract and not able to actually apply to your life. So, and that's what we're going to focus on today. Before I get to that, though, I would like to give a brief background for anybody who doesn't know my work, in case maybe this video was passed to you or shared to you from friends, which I hope, if you're watching this, you'll share it with your friends, especially if you've got friends out there who are truly looking for solutions. I mean, people who are, you know, watching all the content on YouTube or Odyssey or Rockfin or BitChute or Rumble or this place or that place, and they're reading the articles and they're doing the deep dives, but maybe they've driven themselves crazy. Maybe they feel like there's no solutions. Maybe they've, what is this phrase? We're going to talk about this more in a little bit, but they've black-pilled themselves. Now they think that everything's hopeless. If you are like this or you know people like this, this talk is meant for you. So I really hope that you will share it with friends. So let's start with my introduction. My name is Derek Bros. I'm 37 years old, originally from Houston, Texas, and now living in Morelia, Mexico. And I've been doing activism, journalism, all kinds of isms, activisms, if you will, for the last 13 years. As I said, I was originally based in Houston. In 2010, I started an activist group called the Houston Freethinkers. We were active from 2010 till about 2017. We helped kick the TSA off the Houston buses. We helped, you know, build a lot of community gardens, build a lot of community, promote freedom, and it was a wonderful time. Along that journey, I started to realize that the media was not doing their job. And so in 2012, 2013, after blogging for a couple years, I got my first paid writing gig doing my earliest reporting, earliest attempts at journalism, and I've just stuck with it. I've become dedicated to this craft, self-taught, doing writing investigations for the last decade now for all sorts of outlets in the independent alternative media. And at the same time, I ended up getting a gig at the local radio show, Houston's only community radio show, 90.1 KPFT, and started working the local news, doing all kinds of various forms of journalism for the local news. And then eventually, the show that I co-host, Freethinker Radio, now known as Live Free, Think Free, was able to join the radio show as well. So having my own show on the FM radio in Houston, doing my reports in independent alternative media, I also founded the Conscious Resistance Network in 2013 to start exploring the intersection between freedom in the physical realm and the search for spiritual freedom and spiritual meaning, deeper, you know, those deeper truths and that intersection of those two searches. And that's what I've focused a lot of my work on, exploring spirituality, exploring anarchism, voluntarism, freedom, these kinds of ideas. And as I said, working for a lot of different people in independent media. I've also written a number of different books, some of which we're going to talk about today in this presentation. And I've started to produce documentaries as well. Most recently, The Pyramid of Power, 17-part documentary series, which you can find at thepyramidofpower.net. So I think that sort of summarizes a lot of the things I do. I'm also involved in some other projects, which you're going to hear about today in this presentation, the Freedom Cell Network, the Greater Reset, and some other things like that. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get started here. I'm going to pull up my slides. I want to say thank you to the lovely Miriam for making these slides for me. Exit and Build, Creating the 2030 of Your Dreams. And that is my website, theconsciousresistance.com. For those of you who want to follow me on Telegram, I have the Derek Bros Daily News channel where I share a lot of content, as well as my Conscious Resistance Telegram channel as well. So I'll put those links in the description. But let's go ahead and get started here. Exit and Build. Now that I've told you a little bit about myself and who I am and where I've, you know, what I've been up to, I want to get straight to the solutions. I'm going to assume that if you found yourself to this talk, that you are generally speaking aware of the problems in the world. You're aware of things like technocracy. Maybe you've heard the phrase transhumanism. Maybe you are somebody who's opposed to things like Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, social credit scores, digital identities, all this kinds of, you know, intersecting, overlapping topics that many of us have been talking about, myself for a number of years, and more people becoming aware in recent years. So If you know about all that, then you know that it's time for solutions. There are things that we need to focus on. There's ideas that we need to really explore. And I started thinking about this in 2019. What you're looking at on screen, for those of you who are watching on screen, is a copy of my book, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. You can download this book for free at theconsciousresistance.com/how-to. And I published it in January 31st, 2020. So right before the whole COVID insanity began. I wrote this in late 2019, just kind of asking the question of what does it look like to opt out, to exit from systems, to try to build parallel systems, because that's what my activism has always focused on. I don't talk about like, let's run for, you know, president and try to change the world that way, or let's go be violent and storm the Capitol. I talk about counter economics, agorism, building outside of the system. And so my book was an exploration of these ideas. I've been talking about them for pretty much the beginning of my activism. I learned about them through the man who described it, Samuel Konkin, from his work, his book, The New Libertarian Manifesto, The Agorist Primer. I will put links to all this, were huge influences on me and my work, and eventually influencing me to write this book. So I started asking the question, what does it look like if somebody wants to opt out, wants to exit from the system, when the system is becoming increasingly surveilled, increasingly totalitarian, where you can't go anywhere without a digital identity or a digital wallet, or you're being watched everywhere you go, facial recognition cameras, all these different quickly emerging real threats that we are facing. And this is, I'm speaking from Mexico, but this applies in the United States, in Canada, most, I would say all of Europe, India, Australia, Africa for sure. I mean, this is a worldwide issue that we're facing here, this growth of this technocratic state. So I wrote the book really asking that question, like, what does that look like if we're, you know, if we're talking about staying free with that digital dystopian technocratic world emerging, how can we do that? You know, that to me is the key question. And it's in this book that I come up with this phrase, exit and build. Now, I'm not going to show this on screen, but I'm going to read to you guys a section of the book here. I encourage you again to download it, theconsciousresistance.com/how-to. The first version, the first edition was published January 2020, and the second edition with five new chapters and a brand new introduction, I've already written it. It's going to be published coming in December of this year or January 2023, so very soon. So stay tuned to that if you're hearing this talk later. But in the book, I get to this point where I'm talking about all the things I just described, you know, everything monitoring you, watching you, governments, corporations, and then I get to this part here. We as individuals can choose to opt out of mandatory biometrics and social credit schemes, right? We still have that choice at the moment. But if everyone around us is still opting in, it is likely they will choose not to associate with those who have low social credit scores. Some people will do this out of fear that their own score will decrease for hanging out with untrustworthy types. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is part of the social credit score system that's already in place in China and that many people are believing is going to be outsourced to other parts of the world, where they can social engineer behavior by using the technology and either rewarding you for doing things they like or penalizing you, taking away perks, rewards, privileges from you if you don't act right. Sounds like freedom, huh? Some people will do this out of fear that their own score will decrease for hanging out with untrustworthy types. And here's what I wrote. I can hear it now. You know I love you, man, but if my score drops any lower, I won't be able to take the family out to the country for vacation. Or I won't be able to get that loan, that car, or visit public parks if I keep hanging out with you. That's the real power of social engineering. And as I outlined, as we talked about, the technocratic state is growing around the world. This means at some point in the near future, and remember, I was writing this in 2020, right? As COVID happened, and it came fairly true, but it's going to get worse. There's more of this technocracy coming. This means at some point in the near future, you will have to make a choice. Will you submit to mandatory facial recognition in order to travel? That's part of traveling these days. Will you submit to biometrics in exchange for continued access to government services, like all the new identity cards and passports? We've all pretty much submitted to that. What will you do when the 5G smart grid is everywhere from big city to countryside? Why is that relevant? Because the 5G, 6G, and on grid is going to power the Internet of Things, the fourth industrial revolution, as Klaus Schwab calls it. Will you give your car insurance company access to your location for a discounted rate, right? That's another way that this comes. It's going to come in the form of convenience and perks like that. Are you already using your fingerprints or your face to unlock your cell phone or your home? The answer to these questions will determine your future. I'm operating under the assumption that if you found your way to this book or this talk, that you are at the very least curious about what it takes to live a thriving life that is not stuck under the thumb of the technocratic state. And if that's your goal, you have a few options. And this is where I give a couple different options. The first one I call holding down the fort, which is basically just saying, like, I'm committed to where I live. I'm going to build here, right? And then the third option is apathy is death. That means you choose to do nothing. And basically, I'm saying, like, if you don't do anything and you see what's coming, you're going to die either physically or you're going to lose your spirit. You're going to lose your freedom, your liberation. And that doesn't sound like freedom to me. So exit and build. The exit and build idea, what I wrote here was, this involves leaving your base of operations behind and moving to a location with less invasive practices and less technocratic corporate state influence. If you've decided that you are living in an area that has no hope and you'd rather start fresh, then you should exit and build something that reflects your values. Exit from your current system, your current circumstances, whether that means physical location or even just like, hey, I'm exiting by quitting my job. I'm exiting by, you know, living a different life. I'm changing my values, etc., and building something better. This could be done solo, as a couple, with a family, and even with friends. Perhaps you purchase land, you share a living space, or you live adjacent to each other in a neighborhood. No matter what the living situation, the intention here is to build a community that would provide some level of safety and privacy for those who opt out of the mainstream technocratic world. And I want to stress that this option is not necessarily about bailing on your home, right? Because some people are like, oh, why are you running away, Derek? Or running away is not the answer. For one, I think that not all places are going to be equal to freedom, right? Some places will be more free than others, and sometimes voting with your feet is going to be the best option. But I continue here. As I will outline in the coming chapter, choosing to exit and build before the shit hits the fan might help your close friends and family down the line when it really matters. And what I mean by that is that if things get worse, you're going to be thankful you're not living in the cities. I mean, that's just what it's going to come down to. The smart city grid, that's what they're building. And I don't see how in the coming years, especially, but 2030 and beyond, it'll be feasible to think that you can live in that world and still stay free, still have privacy. Your children definitely won't know freedom if you stay in those positions. All right, so that's the book, How to Opt Out. That's a little bit about the exit and build strategy. But let's go on here. I want to tell you about five different attack vectors that I've recognized during COVID-1984. And this is part of the new version of, coming soon, part of the new version of How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. What I mean here is that as I was writing these updates and I was kind of reassessing what have we faced the last couple years, I started to see some consistencies in the different areas that they, the predator class, and particularly the COVID-1984 architects, that they were coming after free people. And so I consider these attack vectors. These are the ways they're coming at us, specific targeted areas that, whether by design or just by coincidence, that these areas are where we're being affected. That also means that by understanding these five attack areas, we can strengthen ourselves in those areas to make sure that we are not susceptible to attack, physical, mental, spiritual, etc., and that we're better able to continue the exit and build process. Because what that really means, as I was outlining there from the book, it can mean, hey, you live in an area where, oh my God, during the pandemic, I was locked down. There was masks everywhere. There was vax, you know, injection mandates, etc. Somehow I made it through, but I lost a lot of friends and family. Well, you might want to be reassessing whether you want to stay in that place now. Maybe you should be thinking, hey, if the quote-unquote next pandemic comes, I don't want to be in this place again if things go down like that. I've already seen how my neighbors will act. I've seen how my local politicians will act. They've shown their true colors, right? So maybe you start thinking, I need to exit from this place. I need to go to the town over because they handled it better, or is more free, or the state over. Or if you can't move at the moment, you know, you start making plans though and thinking, like, how can I protect myself and prepare for that future? That's what the exit and build idea is about. But also, let's say that, you know, you don't have the ability to move, or that the area you live in handled COVID-1984 okay, and you're like, I don't need to physically move. But there still might be ways that you are supporting the slavery systems. That's what I call them. That's what they are. The slavery systems, through your actions, through your work, through your behavior, your relationships, etc. This is why I talk about, and we'll get more into this, taking a holistic self-assessment of your life and looking. And because, you know, for example, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if you're using the banks, the people who are enslaving us, you're working against yourself, right? So we're going to get into that, because sometimes exiting building is not just about physically moving. It's about changing your patterns in your life, and we're going to come back to several times tonight, is that this is always going to be a battle of your principles versus convenience. It's not going to be convenient to follow your principles. It's not going to be convenient to do what's right and to do the difficult work to keep your kids and the coming generations free from this technocracy. It's going to be difficult. It'll be a lot easier and more convenient to just work with their systems. And that's what most people do because it's not easy. So let's continue here. One of these first attack vectors is isolation. And what I mean by this is they are coming at us and they understand the predator class, these individuals that have studied human psychology, they understand how to manipulate us, right? Whether you believe in mass formation psychosis, mass formation theory or parasite stress theory or any other psychological theory out there, clearly there was some groupthink going on. There was some attack of people who didn't follow with the rituals and things like that. And then obviously the lockdowns, the not working, not going to school, separating people, telling people that they're the plague and, you know, not letting people see their loved ones. I mean, a lot of really messed up stuff has happened, right? So it's clear that and the results of this, of course, have led to mental health crises in kids and adults and people all around the world. Right. So I think that this is a key area that we're going to see. We've already heard discussions about climate lockdowns. This is something that I'm writing about in the update of how to opt out of the technocratic state, preparing for the coming lockdowns that will come again, whether it's about the next pandemic or it's about the climate lockdowns or whatever they want to call it. There will be more. I think you should be aware of that. I'm not trying to predict anything. I'm just saying they're already talking about that. They're discussing these things. So let's not be ignorant. We don't need to will that into existence, but we also don't need to ignore that these people who have power, money, and influence are talking about there could be a need for climate lockdowns, right? So prepare for that. This is why it's important to build community. It's never been more important to build community, right? And I'm going to get into the Freedom Cell Network more in just a bit, but the Freedom Cell Network is key here. Finding people at freedomcells.org, it's a website that is part of the real world network that's around the whole world of people who are using decentralized organizing, creating cells, groups, hubs, hives, circles to connect with people in their local community so they can grow food together, so they can homeschool or unschool their kids, so they can pull their money out of the bank, so they can support each other emotionally, morally, and maybe so they can buy land together and you know start building physical community. There's all kinds of ways, but community is the answer. And these people know that, so they're trying to isolate us, right? And that, I think, is going to be important here. We have to make sure we have a sense of community. And maybe you're not a people person. That's fine. We don't all need to be that way. But maybe you have a tight-knit family, right, that you get along with them. That can be your freedom cell, your freedom hub. But I do encourage you, one way or the other, to get connected to some form of community locally. Like, you know, it's going to be so imperative that you are plugged in and working with other people in your local area. So as I was thinking about this as well, before we move on to the next attack vector, so the first one would be isolation. They're trying to isolate you, make you feel, not only isolate you, but gaslight you, tell you that you're crazy for questioning the things going on around you, making you feel insane. That's part of the whole narrative here. So remember that. That is, I believe, going to be used again against us. Then I started to think about some other traps. You know, when you feel isolated and alone, or even when you're waking up, there are certain traps that people run into. So before we go to the next attack vector, allow me to diverge for a moment, take a side road here as we look out for some traps. Now let me explain these to you. The first one here would be conspiratainment, also known as infotainment. I'm going to explain all these. The rabbit hole trap, black-pilled, self-doubt, defeatism, and inaction. That's basically what all that leads to. So conspiratainment, let's start there. For me, when I use that word conspiratainment, which I think James Corbett coined the term infotainment, so maybe James coined both of them, but I love that, conspiratainment, infotainment. What I mean by that is many people start questioning the quote-unquote mainstream world around them, and they start to realize, oh my God, there's propaganda and the Netflix and the Disney and the mainstream and the corporate media is lying. And they wake up, and how do they do that? They start watching different channels and podcasts and documentaries and things and reading books and becoming a part of the community. They realize, oh my God, there's this whole community of people. They host events. They have podcasts. They talk to each other. Wow, I get to learn about all this, right? It's a fun, exciting, and scary thing when you're first waking up. And I see some people that replace the Netflixes and the corporate media with the independent alternative media, right? So I know a lot of us follow different types of people, but I've seen this happen, and I think I've fallen into the trap sometimes where it's just like, what's James up to? What's Max up to? What's Mark up to? What's Jeff up to? What's Derek up to? What's whoever you follow? You know, all these people. It's like you're flipping the TV, right? But we're not doing that. We're just scrolling. We're going to the next channel, going to that. And that can become, you know, maybe you're getting informed, but what are you doing about it, right? If you're not doing anything about it, then it's just, you know, those of us who are creating the content, it's especially those of us like myself and James and John Bush and others who are focused on solutions, it's kind of like, well, why am I doing this? You know, I don't want to just shovel the news down your throat every other day. I don't want to just give you a third opinion about the mainstream news. And unfortunately, at the moment in October 2022, a lot of the alternative independent media really have become clickbait and have become just parroting of mainstream topics. But it sells. It's popular. There's millions of people watching it. I don't know why, but apparently a lot of you are into this, right? So you just consume this content just like it's any other thing, and there's no action behind it. So to me, somebody who's very action-focused, very solutions-focused, it starts to get to the point of I wonder, like, well, why are we doing this? What's this about, right? Are we really trying to change the world, or are we just here to, you know, become the new media and not actually fix things? I know I really want to change the world. So that's what I can consider conspiratainment. And I have more to say on that. This is in the book, and I've written about this in the Conscious Resistance Trilogy, which is up there. Also, the rabbit hole trap. I have an entire essay about the rabbit hole trap that you can find at theconsciousresistance.com. I'll link that as well. The rabbit hole trap is similar to conspiratainment in a way, but it's more about those of us who start to wake up and getting sucked down endless rabbit holes, right? And you keep going down the rabbit holes trying to figure out if we're in a simulation, if the earth is flat, if we went to the moon, what exactly happened on 9/11, are there viruses, are these things? And again, these are topics we should explore, questions that should be asked, but so many people spend hours, countless hours, unproductive hours. You know, even by the end of it, people will say, like, I don't know if I learned anything, or like, wow, now I'm just stressed out, holy crap. I guess I'm awake, but I don't feel good, you know? And not to say the truth needs to feel good, but I'm just saying there is definitely a point where going down the rabbit holes becomes unproductive and actually counterproductive. That's what I would consider to be the rabbit hole trap. And then one of the side effects of the rabbit hole trap is what is known as being blackpilled, or at least this is for some people. People spend so much time going down these rabbit holes, and they don't have any time or pay attention to the solutions. People out there doing good things, they're only consumed by, they're watching again, the infotainment, conspiratainment, rabbit hole traps, and then you just like, oh my God, everything's screwed. We're fucked. There's no way to save the world. There's no way to fix anything. Like, you know, and I, you know, now I'm realizing I left one out here, because you have the opposite end of blackpilling, which is the hopium. The people who fall for the QAnon stuff, Trump is coming to save the day, Bernie Sanders is coming to save the day, whatever it may be, right? So you have blackpilled, that's hopeless, there's nothing going on, and in hopium, Q's here to save things, Trump's going to save things, Bernie's going to save things, JFK Jr. is alive, he's coming to save the day, whatever, right? And so we don't need to do anything. And I would also place in that category Christians and other religious folk, not just Christians, I don't mean to pick on the Christians, but any religious folk who believe that their particular religion, God, holy book, etc., teaches them that God is coming back to save them, and thus there's no reason to really fight for this physical realm, because this is all just, you know, it doesn't matter. Jesus and whoever's going to come back and save us, Muhammad, whatever. So there's no reason to worry about that. We'll have real life in heaven in the afterlife, right? I think that's a form of hopium as well. So black pilling and hopium. And then overall, this can lead to self-doubt. This can lead to defeatism. The defeatism trap is another one that I see often, where people, no matter what solution I promote, and I guarantee you, if they're going to be in the comments, my friends, wherever you're watching this from, especially if you're on BitChute, I'm watching you. If you're on BitChute, there's always negative comments. There's always people who are so awake, they're black-pilled, you know, there's no hope, there's no solutions. Freedom cells is a trap. Meeting people in person is a trap. Stay home, be angry. You know, growing your food is a waste of time. Buying land is a waste of time. You really think they're going to let you do that? This and that. Like that's the defeatist trap. People who, no matter what you say, they can't see any possible solution, any possible good. So the defeatist trap, and then self-doubt in general is as it sounds. It's just you start to doubt yourself, like from the black pilling, from the rabbit hole trap. You can start to question whether or not your voice even matters, whether or not you even can have an impact. We're a tiny little drop in the whole ocean, right? But we do ripple out. We do have an impact. I've seen this in my own life with the 10 to 12 years of activism I've done, I've seen effects happen in my community. And I know that other people have done the same. So your actions, your words, your life does matter. And so defeatism, and then obviously this can just lead to inaction. If you're just watching the conspiracy documentaries and watching the channels, or you're just, you know, going down the rabbit holes, or you're black-pilled, or the hopium, or you got self-doubt, you're defeated, you think there's no way to fix anything, obviously you're taking no actions, so you're not getting out from behind the computer screen. These are all traps, guys, and I've seen so many people falling these traps. I myself have stumbled into them a time or two, and I think it's something that can happen. It doesn't just happen when you're first waking up. It can happen, you know, after you've been awake and been a veteran for a long time. You become cynical. You feel hopeless. So I encourage you, look out for these traps to watch out for. Now let's move on to our next attack vector here that the predator class focused on during COVID-1984, and I do believe we're going to see them focus on again. They are coming for the children. They are coming for the children, quite frankly, and I think many of you at this point see this and understand this. We saw this through mask mandates, shot mandates. We're still seeing it, right? We're seeing in the U.S. the approval of shots, or the recommendation of shots for young kids, of these new untested bivalent quote unquote boosters potentially being implemented in schools around the country, right? And we're seeing other places where this is being brought out. That's one example when it comes to the health. But again, they're also coming for the kids when it comes to their young minds through the public indoctrination centers known as schools. If you have a kid in school, you are more than likely going to suffer at the whims of what the CDC or other similar agencies in your country say. Recommendations, laws, rules, mandates, whatever you want to call them, they set them. And if your kids are in that school, they're going to make you submit to that because you're voluntarily submitting. So the key is get your kids out of the school. It's not easy. I talk about this in the book as well. But once again, community is the answer. If you're part of the Freedom Cell Network, if you're meeting more local parents and groups of parents, then you guys could, for example, come together and pool your resources and hire a tutor so that it's not one parent spending all their money or all the parents spending all their money, but you collectively put the money together. You figure out a schedule. The kids are taught. It makes it easier on each of the parents, right? There's ways to make it happen if you believe and if you put this in front of anything. And if you've got kids, you definitely should, my friends, because this whole agenda is about the coming seven generations. It's about the kids. It's about the young ones here, the young ones who aren't here yet. They are absolutely trying to get into the minds, bodies, hearts, and spirits of these kids. They're indoctrinating their minds with various propaganda. And we could say whether that's Agenda 2030 propaganda or people's concerns about critical race theory or, you know, stuff about identity or gender and things like that. If you, you know, that might not be your concern, but the point is if you put them in the public indoctrination centers, and they've been indoctrination centers since the beginning. I talked about this in the Pyramid of Power, the Rockefeller and their acolytes working together to take over the education system, just like they took over the medical system, etc. So it's not a good place you want to keep your kids. It's not, you know, it's not a place where they're safe. And also those things are increasingly becoming militarized because of the claims of school shootings. They're increasingly, you know, having police officers, bag checks, facial recognition cameras. I mean, they're almost identical to prisons or to airports at this point with all the tech they've got. So again, as I was saying earlier, that these are the attack vectors, right? So they're trying to isolate you. They're trying to come for the kids. But we're going to talk about the solution. When it comes to isolation, they want you to feel alone, gaslit, you know, crazy, all these stuff. The answer is community. Don't be alone. Connect with more people. They want to try to keep you at home, tell you, no, don't go out, don't meet people, don't get connected in your community. You got to do the opposite. You got to get more plugged in. And you got to get beyond your let me just take a side note here for this. You got to get beyond your fears and self-doubts, my friends, because I've not always been a very public or people person extroverted or whatever, outgoing like I am these days. And I really ain't. I'm not this way most of the time. I like being around people to a certain extent. My point here is that I had to learn, because this issue, this topic, these ideas, saving the world, creating a better world for my nieces and nephews and the coming future generations, it matters more than anything else. It matters more than my little insecurities or my doubts or fears. So I had to push myself past that and say, Derek, get over it. It's more important than that. Get over it, right? So you might have to push past some doubts, some fears, some insecurities, some judgments about other people. You might end up working with people you never thought you could work with, right? Imagine that. Well, hard times call for compromises and creative solutions. And this is that time. So if you care about the coming generation, it's time for us to build community so you're not isolated. And it's time to use the Freedom Cell Network. Again, you go to freedomcells.org, you create a free profile, you connect there. There are parents on there. There's some parents and people organizing on the website, some people organizing on Telegram and elsewhere. The point is, though, there's a worldwide network of people who are trying to get their kids out of these systems. And there's plenty of opportunity. It's just about if you're willing to do it. Again, principles versus convenience. What you really want versus what's easy to do. All right, let's go to the next one. They're coming for your food. And this should be really, really obvious by this point. In the United States, they've talked about, we've got government agencies trying to ask people to register their gardens, right? We've got destruction of farms and farm supplies and taxes on nitrogen and different minerals and resources that are necessary for some types of farming, mass farming. I don't think it's necessary for all things like permaculture and such. But there are increasing taxes, there are increasing restrictions on all kinds of ways that people can grow their own food. And at the same time, you have people like the Bill Gateses of the world buying up the land. Also, the Mormon Church in the U.S., they own a lot of land. So clearly then, and we saw this right during COVID-1984. Everybody who understands that COVID-1984 was an engineered event. Nothing that happened the last 2.5 years was by accident. The food prices didn't just randomly rise. The inflation didn't just come out of nowhere. The food lines, the bread lines, all of this is being done by design to try to break down people in order to bring in the Great Reset. That's what it's really about. So they're coming for the food, and they're coming for individual private food production. And what is the answer to that? Localized, decentralized food production. What that means is we need as many community gardens, backyard gardens, front yard gardens, urban farms, community farms. We need community supported agriculture. We need just distribution systems, and we need it everywhere. We don't need just to happen here in Morelia and Mexico. Because see, the thing is, where I live in Mexico, there's plenty of farms out here. The U.S., the United States, as one example, has outsourced most of their farming now. Places like California and a couple other places in the U.S. grow a lot of things. Most of it's out there, like in the Midwest, is all GMO corn and soy and stuff like that. But as far as like good organic stuff, most of that's been exported, outsourced elsewhere, and the U.S. is importing that product. There's still a lot of farms in Mexico, right? So the more farms, the more local growing you have wherever you live, the better off you're going to be. You don't want to be in a position where there's no farms, there's no access to food, especially as we get to the point where, you know, for example, what did we see during COVID? You can't come into the grocery store without a mask. Then some people start saying you can't come in if you don't have proof of shots. Well, what happens if you don't have the digital ID? You can't come in. Don't have the proper amount of carbon credits or the right social credit score? You can't come in. These things will happen. They can and will happen. So we shouldn't act like they're not going to. Instead, we should, you know, prepare for that potential. And we should, as we've been discussing, exit and build. Exit from their slavery systems and build better ones. And in this case, rather than being dependent on the grocery stores, the big supermarkets, and these factory farms, which whatever your diet is, I think most people can understand that animals are treated inhumanely in these giant factory farms. It poisons the local communities. It pollutes the environment. There is some real damage done from that. So we need more permaculture. If you don't know what permaculture is, my friends, I encourage you to check out Ecoversity. I'm going to put a link in. This is the permaculture course, the permaculture design certification that I took with Miriam in 2020 through my good friend Stephen Brooks. That's just one example. There's plenty of other permaculture courses out there, but get educated, get involved. Permaculture, syntropic agroforestry, look up these terms. Start understanding, you know, just get your hands in the dirt, plant some seeds. This is going to be so important. Teach the kids how to grow food. Teach the kids how to, feed themselves. That's what we really need, because they want to make it, you'll own nothing to be happy, right? Well, the answer then is we need to own some land. We need to own a little bit of patch, at least, even if you're, you don't need to be a big capitalist landowning pig or whatever, but you can have a backyard or some space to start growing food with your family. It's important, guys. Start growing food. Start putting food away, storing it. And I'm not saying to prepare for doomsday. I'm simply saying, think about all the things I'm describing here. This isn't like, oh, let's prepare for the apocalypse, because, there are some bad things on the horizon. But either way, Trying to get out of isolation and building a network of people, that's a good thing. Trying to protect your kids and get them out of propaganda centers and connected with other like-minded kids and help them, you know, be free-range kids, that's a good thing. Growing your own food and encouraging local food production, decentralized food production, that's a good thing. These are all positive things. So even if you take out the potential for some sort of doomsday apocalyptic scenario, which is not what I'm saying is coming, even if you take out that idea, this is just a better way to live, my friends. So remember that. Let's go to the next attack vector. Finances, money. This is key. This is super key. All of these are. I'm focusing on five attack vectors. Isolation, which you need community. Kids, get them out of the public education system. Build community around them. Get families together, working together. Food, grow more food. Finances, we already have seen people getting PayPal accounts shut down, bank accounts shut down, Stripe restricting people's payments, Patreon. And thankfully, there are a lot of people out there creating new services, new alternatives to Patreon. There's things like GabPay and some others that offer PayPal alternatives. But at the same time, these are still operating on the same banking systems. I mean, it's cool to have a different way to send people money that's not PayPal, but still it's ultimately dependent on us using bank accounts from the same banks that have continued to rob the people of the world for hundreds of years now, for generations. And we keep using them. And all those same banks, if you go to weforum.org, the World Economic Forum website, weforum.org/partners, all those same criminal banks are partnered with the World Economic Forum. So by putting your money in their banks, you could literally be funding the Great Reset. You're working against yourself. So the key here is not just to have new payment systems and other ways to send money, which I think crypto can solve a lot of that, but to get out of the banking system. That's my goal, at least, right? And more of you have become aware of this and realize that we need parallel systems in this regard, namely because you saw people getting their bank accounts frozen in Canada because they gave to, you know, the wrong cause, the Freedom Caravans, I think they were called. I can't remember the name right now. I apologize. But also we saw people in China getting their bank accounts shut down preemptively. We saw them using the COVID tracking apps to try to prevent people from going to protest by changing their social credit scores so they couldn't take public transit, right? They're going to come after your ability to make money. And travel is another one, but I think these are all kind of interconnected. So I put here, you got options like cash, you got silver, you got crypto, and I know a lot of people out there, this is not meant to be a shilling for crypto thing, but let me tell you this, my friends, I haven't used a bank account since 2008. And I've used a lot of different methods, had to hop through different things. It's not like there's one simple way to go about it. You have to be flexible. You got to be adaptable. And that's another big thing. With what we're facing, you need to be flexible. You need to be adaptable. I know a lot of you are locked in these kinds of lifestyles that you think you thought you were going to live forever, and now things are changing rapidly. And the world you built might not be the world that's going to be conducive to freedom and to liberation. So you need to really rethink that. Like I said earlier, this might involve some lifestyle changes, some habit changes, some becoming a new person almost in a way. But that's what we need right now. We need to step into our strengths, step into our principles, and know what's right for us. So in this regard, I would say, like, look, you might have problems with or concerns about crypto. What happens if they turn off the internet, Derek? Look, let me tell you this. If they turn off the internet, you're not going to be able to access your bank account either. So if the internet is turned off, if the power grid goes down, electricity, internet, you're not going to be able to get money out of the bank. And no, for a couple hours or however long it lasts, I won't be able to get crypto. But when the internet turns back on, the power turns back on, as soon as that happens and I'm connected back to the internet, my crypto will still be there. And assuming I can have somebody willing to buy it from me, as long as it stays valuable, then it will be useful. But I'm not here to say crypto is the only answer or the answer, that everybody needs to be using crypto or, you know, you're going to be lost or anything like that. Silver. I hold silver. I hold Monero, which is a private crypto. I encourage you to look in. It's one of the most secure, if not the most secure one. And I use Bitcoin. And then I also have seeds as currency. I also have tools. And I also like to invest my money in myself. So if you're looking for a way, you know the banks are bad, you're concerned about them freezing your accounts, and you're like, I hear you, Derek, but what am I going to do with it? Look, I joke about this, but honestly, stuffing it under your mattress or in a closet or, more safely, in a safe in your home is way better than keeping it in the bank. Because not only what I mentioned earlier, the fractional reserve banking, that when you put money in their banks, they can take it and invest it in other projects that you have no say in. But beyond that, there's the concern that they could freeze your account at any time. And in general, I don't think that these are the kind of institutions and people that we want to support. Banks are involved in human trafficking, drug trafficking, working with criminals around the world, government criminals and other criminals, right? The banks don't care. So these people are a part of the problem. So if you're trying to avoid the banks, then the solutions I was sharing are ideas like investing in yourself, taking courses to empower yourself, because let's imagine things do get a little more difficult. The person that's going to be the most useful is going to be the person that has skills to offer, has things to bring to the table. Whether that's like, hey guys, I got a whole bunch of tobacco to trade, or hey guys, I got a whole bunch of tools we can use or to build things or to trade with other people. Or guys, I took a permaculture course. I know how to build or grow food systems and all this stuff. Look how useful I am. That person's going to be a lot more useful than somebody who says, hey guys, I have like $1 million in the bank. I can't get it right now, but it's locked up. And, or even the person's like, I got $1 million in crypto, but I can't get it right now. The internet's off, right? So if you are going to do the crypto thing, gain skills as well. Even if you're going to leave money in the bank, gain skills. Your money is better served taking it out of the bank and using it on you. Take a course that you want to learn, beekeeping, permaculture, self-defense, learn how to work a firearm, whatever it may be, invest in yourself, give yourself skills. And if you can do it as a community, as a freedom cell, or as a family, even better. Let's go to the next and final attack vector that we're focusing on for tonight. Technology, big tech. They're building the digital prison. And you can see here from some of these pictures, people with their phones, QR codes, apps, surveillance cameras everywhere, and then this is just talking about digital identity, all the steps towards moving towards digital identity. That's what we're facing, friends, and we saw this so clearly during COVID 1984, right? I mean, think about contact tracing apps. Think about facial recognition cameras to detect if people are in the right places or if they're violating things. I remember seeing a story in the United States from Arkansas about some guy who tested positive for COVID and was told to quarantine, but he didn't believe it. And so they came and put an ankle monitor on him for 2 weeks, right? And not only that, but this whole idea of technocracy is all about rule by technology, rule by experts. And what have we heard for the last 2.5 years? Trust the experts, right? Let's use technology to solve things. Computer models are going to tell us how bad things are going to get, and we're going to just trust that, right? This whole thing, it's clear that the technology is playing a huge role. Now, obviously, I'm communicating with you through technology right now. It's a great tool. I'm not here as a neo-Luddite saying that all technology is bad, or, you know, some people, they don't understand blockchain or crypto, so they're just like, oh, I'm afraid of it. It must be bad. I think we need to be a little more objective than that, right? What I am saying is that there are beautiful opportunities that are in our hands right now to use certain technologies to create more freedom, to avoid the banks and create parallel systems. And at the same time, some of those technologies, like blockchain, for example, are also going to be used to create digital identities that could be the end of privacy and freedom of movement, freedom of speech, freedom of travel, things like that. These technologies are also going to be able to break some of the encryptions that we're trying to protect in our emails or our messenger chats and things like that, right? So we are in a digital arms race between good technology, quote unquote, and bad technology, governmental, corporate, spy technology, and individuals trying to live free, trying to trade, trying to surf the web privately without somebody scooping up their data, right? That's the world we're living in right now. And in many ways, for the most part, we've voluntarily kind of submitted to this system, right? I don't own a cell phone, but most people do. And we carry them with us everywhere we go. They track every location. They're not only emitting EMFs, potentially health harms to us while we carry them on our bodies, but they're giving different companies from apps that we've downloaded, you know, our location data of everywhere we go. And you might be like, I don't care, Derek, whatever. That's what a lot of people think when you first talk to them about privacy. But then the more you get down to it, people really do care about privacy. Certain things, maybe not all things equally, but some things we don't want the public to know or other people to know or family members to know, right? So one level or another, we all care about privacy. And it's important to protect it. It's important to practice it. And you don't do that by continuing to use the same systems that got us here. So if you're watching this right now on a Google browser or from a Microsoft operating system or Apple operating system or Google operating system or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For one, I understand. I was there until last year. It's not easy to get off these systems. It's not like going to the local electronics store and there's going to be alternative computers and laptops and cell phones, but they do exist. They are out there, and I encourage you to learn more about them, because if we continue to just buy the latest upgrades of cell phones and latest updates of our apps. We are building the digital prisons around, or they're building it, but we're walking into it voluntarily. We're like the prisoner. We're like standing in the courtyard of the prison, and they've got some of the gates built and some of the the boundaries built, and we can see them being erected. Some of us are like, hey guys, I think we're getting locked in here. And other people are like, guys, what are y'all talking about? Everything's fine. You are crazy. Stop being crazy conspiracy theorists. You see them putting up a guard tower, and there's a guy with a gun watching you, and you're slowly watching this prison be erected around you, only to realize that you're carrying the very key. You're literally locking yourself in it with your cell phone, with your smartphone, with your use of digital technology. Not to say we need to abandon all of it. Maybe at some point I will feel that way. I don't think I'm there yet. But we need to be smart. We need to ask questions about the ways that we interact with digital technology. Like I said earlier, you don't have to download the latest update. You don't have to use the mainstream social media, the mainstream computer companies and tech companies, the big tech companies that all have backgrounds from the U.S. intelligence community and from the spy communities, from DARPA, things like that, Silicon Valley, Intel, InQtel. Look up these things. I've reported on them in my documentary series and elsewhere. So then what's the solution? The solution is to use technology smarter, to be smarter than technology. And it might sound silly, and it's actually, I think, a lot easier said than done, like most things. But can you commit today to stop using Google? You know, even the fact that Google has become a verb that's part of our language shows you how deeply embedded this corporate company is. We need to change that. There's dozens of alternatives, alternative search engines. People like DuckDuckGo for a while. Well, then DuckDuckGo started censoring people. There's Presearch. There's SeerX. Again, these will be in the notes. There's a few others that I'm sure people can name. You can look up AbovePhone.com, which is Ramiro Romani, part of the Greater Reset team, the Freedom Cell Network. He sells the Above Phone, a de-Googled, privacy-based with all privacy apps on it phone that is ready to go out the box for you. And it's got, you know, all the different features and things you're used to, but it doesn't have YouTube. It doesn't have Google. It doesn't have Apple. Doesn't have Microsoft in there. It's open source, decentralized versions of the same apps you're used to. And then they also sell a suite of tools. So if you want to go with them for a privacy email service and lots of other fun things, again, AbovePhone.com, you can check out their whole suite of tools there. And there are more and more companies and people coming out and doing this. That's the key. Again, exit from their slavery systems, build new ones. But in the case of technology, I'm not a technologist. I'm not a software designer. I can't do these things, but I can support people like Ramiro who are. I can tell you guys about that. Another couple of tools to remember, privacytools.io. Let me double check that. Privacytools.io is a great resource. Yes, that is the correct address. It's a great resource to give you alternatives to all of the mainstream things, browsers, email, password manager, storage, IAM, file encryptions, etc. There's another one called nomoregoogle.com, which gives you a lot of other options. There are so many options that are available to us. You just have to be willing to go through a little bit of a struggle. Maybe you got to learn a new tool. Maybe you got to, you know, update your systems. You know, it can be scary to say, okay, I'm going to go from Microsoft to Linux, but I'm doing it. I'm working on it right now, and it's amazing. I love Pop OS. That's the operating system I use. It took me a little bit of a learning curve, but now I know that I'm not supporting Bill Gates while I'm doing my work, and that is a great feeling. And I know I'm not contributing to the fourth industrial revolution by using Google services, by working with these companies. I try to limit my involvement with them as much as possible. Now we're going to start to wrap up here, guys. I've mentioned this a couple of times, but the key to all of these different areas, to learning more about getting off big tech, to not being isolated, to helping connect with other like minds, to free the kids, to homeschool, to unschool, to growing your own food, to getting financial freedom, is community. And we are building community at the Freedom Cell Network. FreedomCells.org is our website. You can go there, create a free profile, fill it out. Add your local location, don't put your home address, and then you can use the cell maps or the member maps to find groups and people in your area. Connect them. Check out their profile. Do they have similar goals, similar interests? Message them. Say, let's meet up. Let's go out for a coffee. Do they have meetings already? Go there. Get connected. Use the website as a tool to meet people in the real world, and then you can leave the website behind if you want. There's also lots of people on Telegram. If you go to the Freedom Cells website, once you sign up, there's a page called Telegram Cells. And you can find all that in there and get the info you want. So I highly encourage you to check out the Freedom Cell Network. And then the other thing I want to mention, because this is part of the solutions too, is the Greater Reset for co-creation coming up January 18th to the 22nd, 2023. Find out details at thegreaterreset.org. Myself and my partners at the Freedom Cell Network, when it came to COVID-1984 and 2020, and we heard this term, the Great Reset, we started thinking, what are we going to do about this? We don't want to just sit around in our hands or just obsess over, oh my God, Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, what are we going to do, right? We wanted to promote solutions. So in January 2021, we held our first annual event, The Greater Reset, which was a forum for 5 days where we bring together just some of the brightest, amazing thinkers in permaculture, mental, physical, spiritual health, building community, parallel networks, decentralized technology. And for 5 days, just like they meet in Davos, the World Economic Forum meets in Davos, Switzerland. We meet for 5 days, live in Texas, live in Mexico, people watching all around the world, watch parties all over. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, special experience. All solutions focused, no debates about politics or viruses or about this thing or that thing, all solutions for 5 days. And this is another way that I believe there is a movement of people that are going to survive and thrive past the technocracy and the technocratic state. But not because they're going to sit around and just wait for other people. Not because they're going to get lost in the infotainment or the rabbit hole trap or the black pilling or the hopium. But because they are taking concrete steps in their lives using the Freedom Cell Network, using events like the Greater Reset and other tools to connect and to find the people so they can exit and build and they can create the 2030 of their dreams. That is what this is really about, guys. The final thing I want to mention here before I close out, my websites, theconsciousresistance.com, thepyramidofpower.net, I mentioned that. That's where you can find my documentary series, thegreaterreset.org, as I was just mentioning, and of course, the Freedom Cell Network. Those are all the different tools, the different places you can find my work, and I do appreciate you guys very much, you know, just being here.
This is really the time for us to focus on solutions, guys. So this is why I did this presentation. I mean, this is something that I've been having in my mind for a couple months now, just trying to really emphasize not only the exit and build strategy, which as you guys think about this title, exit and build, creating the 2030 of your dreams, obviously outlining how we can start maneuvering, getting out of systems that are slavery systems, broken systems, and into better new systems, which support individuality, individual liberty, bodily autonomy, self-ownership, community, mutual aid, these kinds of topics. That is where we need to be going. We need to be exiting from these systems and building new ones. And the reason I called it creating the 2030 of your dreams is because, think about this, my friends, they have the Davos World Economic Forum, they have the World Government Summit, they have the young global leaders, the new champions, the global shapers, they have conferences, they have videos, they have think tanks, they have studies and reports that they put out. These people are working night and day and have been for decades, working with nearly every single bank in the world, nearly every government in the world, trillions of dollars invested into this to create their Agenda 2030. And I don't know if you guys are paying attention to the year, but it's 2022, October 2022 right now. That means we got 2023, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. 8 years until we reach 2030, where they are trying to complete their agenda. The World Economic Forum and the United Nations have called this the decade of transformation. So my point is, they're working night and day to build, create, manifest the 2030 they like. What about us? We need to be spending just as much time asking ourselves, what does the 2030 look like that we want to experience? You know, do you want to own nothing and be happy, be miserable is what it really would be? Or do you want to live amongst like-minded people and build a better future for your family, for the coming generations, for your children? Because that's what I'm focused on, right? I know that I'm going to create the 2030 of my dreams. I will not be owning nothing and being miserable. I will be thriving, happy, living amongst like-minded people, owning land, growing my own food. And this is the vision that I'm working on, not just talking about, not just praying or hoping or manifesting, doing all those things, plus putting concrete action behind it. Myself and Miriam, we're working on getting some land with a group of people. We've been working on this the last couple years. That dream is almost coming to fruition. And within the next years, I'll be on land, I'll be using my permaculture skills to grow food, hosting workshops, hosting courses where people like yourself can come out and can learn from just brilliant minds and permaculture and spirituality and freedom cells and organizing and come together and really share these skills so that we can activate people, then send them back home to their communities and keep spreading these ideas and keep helping other people exit and build and opt out of these systems. That's the 2030 of my dream. So we need to be thinking about what is your Agenda 2030 look like, your Liberation 2030, your Agora 2030, if you will, right? That is what I'm focused on. That's where I'm putting my energy in. And I really, really, truly hope you guys give that concrete weight and action, because understand this. This is my final thought as I wrap up this presentation, that nothing short of concrete action, I believe, is going to get us through what we're facing, right? We can post on the internet. We can complain on the internet. We can post memes, we can write articles and do even the things that I do. But if we only do those things and we're not taking concrete real world steps in our lives, like I've outlined in this presentation, to get out of the banks, to get the kids out of the schools, to start growing your food or support those who do, to build community so you're not isolated, and to get out of the financial system, if you're not taking concrete steps to doing that, my friends, you are going to end up trapped in this system that they're building. So please, if you take anything from this presentation, start taking concrete, real, tangible steps in your life to build the Agora 2030, the vision of 2030 you want for your family and your friends. And with that, that's where I'm going to end it, guys. I do appreciate your time, your attention today. I hope you enjoyed this presentation. If so, please do share it with friends and family. You can always find my work at theconsciousresistance.com and all the other websites that we have mentioned. Thank you. Until next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.
Since 2012, the Conscious Resistance Network has been an independent media organization focused on empowering individuals through education, philosophy, health, and community organizing. We work to create a world where corporate and state power do not rule over the lives of free human beings. Our motto is leading by example and helping others in their pursuit of freedom. Visit theconsciousresistance.com to find our articles, documentaries, interviews, podcasts, books, and more. Remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free.